Good morning. Today we'll be reading from Jonah, not Joanne, Jonah. Jonah 1. I'll be reading from the NIV. Jonah 1. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose from the ship, threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How could you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will all become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, Jonah's actually probably my favorite book in the Old Testament. Definitely my favorite prophet. Why? Because it's pretty short and memorable. Like, it's only 4 chapters. Yes, there are other books that are shorter, like Obadiah, which has only 21 verses. But honestly, who remembers what it's about? But we all know what Jonah's about, right? It's a narrative. It's very easy to read. It's very easy to understand, to comprehend. We know what's happening. We can follow along. Like, when we just read it, it's like a story. It also goes against all our expectations, right? Now, imagine you were back then, you were growing up as a young Jewish kid. You're listening to all these great prophets. You're listening to them doing what they do best, which is following God, right? And then suddenly, you hear the story of this guy called Jonah. And then you're like, "Oh, what? What's happening?" This book, in some ways, to me, why I really like it, it's because it's actually kind of funny. I mean, if you look at the person of Jonah, this prophet, right? He basically is a caricature of the anti-prophet. I mean, the first thing he does in the third verse, like after the first 2 verses were like, "Oh, go do this," God said. And then he was like, "Nope." And he went the opposite way, basically. He doesn't want to, infer on as we continue reading, he doesn't want to extend God's grace. And he basically threw a tantrum near the end of the book. So for this reason, all these reasons, Jonah wasn't a perfect person, but I find him the most relatable. I mean, let's compare to a guy that people usually mix up with Jonah. You're like, "Oh, Jonah in the ark?" No, it's Noah in the ark. So let's look at Noah, right? When God gave him the set of blueprints, what did he do? He went and built a boat, even though there's no rain coming, right? Let's compare to Abraham and Isaac. When God told Abraham, "Bring your son and sacrifice him," Abraham brought his son and sacrificed him. I mean, can you relate? I can't really. There are so many different major players in the Bible that you read. And you see them, and then they're like bigger than life. They're like this, wow, so much faith, right? But then you see Jonah. It's so different. It's very different. Let's go through chapter 1. There are a few things I would like to point out. Like, for example, in the first verse is an introduction, and then we see that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So God spoke to Jonah. Very easy. Go to this great city. Basically, God told Jonah, go. And then in the third verse, immediately we see, but Jonah ran away. But Jonah ran away. Now, you might be like, oh, maybe he doesn't know that running away from God is a bad thing, or that not doing what God commanded him was a bad thing. But obviously not, because we see later on, he already knows that this punishment was going to happen. And he already knows that he was running away from the Lord. In verse 10, it says, they knew he was running away from the Lord. Jonah wasn't like, oh, maybe Nineveh is this way. No, he went the opposite direction. Now, maybe you guys have already heard that when Jonah was commanded to go to Nineveh, he went the opposite direction. I've grown up hearing that. I'm like, oh, okay, opposite direction. Like, obviously, you already tell, like, okay, that's not where he's supposed to go. But then I went up and looked at the map this time, and I finally realized how crazy it was. So, this is not to scale. The map that I saw was probably not exactly to scale either. But imagine that God told you to go to Admiralty, and instead, you went all the way to Kennedy Town. You're like, I'm going to hop on the MTR. Instead of going to Admiralty, which is towards the east, you went all the way to the west, to Kennedy Town. Not even to Shengwan. You went to Kennedy Town. Or, like, on the larger scale, if God told you to go to, say, North Point or Sai Kung, you went all the way to Macau. So it's basically two different directions, and this direction is actually further than going to where God told you to go. So Jonah very clearly, very, very clearly knew that what he was doing was not the right thing. And so, therefore, when the punishment came, which was like when the waves came, and then when God was trying to get his attention, he already knew that was going to happen. I mean, when there are big waves, what do? Obviously, you go to sleep, right? No. So normally on a boat, like if it's calm and it's like wavy, you'd be like, oh, this is nice. I can definitely go to sleep. But, I mean, I haven't been on situations like this, but I've seen it on TV. But when like the huge storms and the huge waves are like going to crash into your boat and your boat's going to sink, it's really hard to sleep, I would assume. And so Jonah already knew that this punishment, that this call was going to happen. And at the same time, it's really weird. You would think that he'd be like, oh no, it's not my fault, right? Oh no, I don't know why the storm's so big. I don't know why we're going to sink. Instead, he was like, oh yeah, it's my fault. I know that it is my fault, and that this great storm has come upon you, in verse 12. So Jonah, while disobeying, didn't deny that he was disobeying. Also, in verse 9, he didn't deny who his God was. Very interesting to me to notice. I'm like, if I was the person who basically am not listening to God, I'm walking away, and then people ask me, hey, what's happening? I wouldn't be like, oh, my God told me to do something and I didn't do it, and therefore I'm being punished. And I would be like, oh, I don't know. And who's that God, right? So it's very interesting that Jonah knew, he didn't deny, and he was sort of facing his punishment, sort of. So in verse 12, he said, pick me up and throw me into the sea. It will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now you would think that this is like, oh, maybe Jonah has a change of heart. Maybe he wants to make amends. Maybe he doesn't want to drag everybody down. Sure, yeah. I think that is a very plausible thing to do. But There was one time I was reading or listening. I don't really remember the source, but I heard or read that this might be actually just another way of him trying to escape. Like, what happens to you when you get tossed into the sea without other boats or ships, without safety? You die, right? So, I mean, instead of making amends, I'm not sure, I wouldn't say that maybe if Jonah asked to turn back with it, would the storm suddenly become calm and then he would make his way to Nineveh? I don't know, maybe, maybe not. But instead he asked to get tossed off the boat. Now, the men on the boat, actually, they are not followers of Yahweh. They're not followers of the God that Jonah was following, because as we see in the earlier verses, they were all crying out to their own gods, lowercase g. And it wasn't working. They were not followers of God, yet, in a way, they had more sense of honor, or more sense of responsibility than Jonah. They, even when Jonah said, toss me off the boat, they didn't do it. They tried their best to row back to land. They could not. But then eventually, they finally did, after crying to God, saying, oh God, forgive us, because it really isn't their fault, right? And so what happened was that they started praying to their own God, didn't work. And then in some miraculous way of God working, Jonah, in his disobedience, allowed them, pointed them towards the real God. Because we see in verse 16, at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, which is referring to Jonah's God. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. That was quite unexpected, wasn't it? That's why I love Jonah. This whole book is pretty much one unexpected thing after another. And when I was reading this chapter, I actually was reminded of a person. Now, this person's background is quite, I guess, spiritual. For those who can't see, I made air quotation marks, spiritual, right? And so this person grew up in a Christian family. It's a ministry family. Actually, it's a pastor's family. Actually, it's a missionary family, right? And top of that, this person actually does full-time ministry, I think. And anyway, so this person was one day walking down the street, and God spoke to them. God was very clearly speaking to that person, pointing them to this random guy on the street. They don't know each other, but God was telling this person, you should go talk to that person. You should go ask him how he's doing and try to help him. Now, if you were just a passerby, if you were on the street looking, and you wouldn't be able to know what's happening. You would be like, oh, it's just a normal day, because you wouldn't be able to hear or see that God was talking to this person. But if we look at it like we just read Jonah, we will have a somewhat different reaction. It's like, what? Because God was telling this guy to go talk to this random person. And then did the person that God talked to go talk? No, he just walked past. And without another glance. And then we will read, and then we will understand that actually inside the mind, this person was trying to actually reason with God. This person was actually trying to give excuses. Or even worse, this guy was actually saying, oh, maybe next time, maybe next time. Just give me another chance, God. How would I know? Because that person is me. There are not once, not twice, but actually a few times where this happens, where I felt very clearly it wouldn't have been out of my good heart to actually want to go talk to random people, like that God told me I should go talk to that person. Sometimes it's not even a random person, it's somebody I know. But then in my sinfulness, what I do is just walk past. What I do is go the opposite direction of where God is telling me to do. It's really easy. It's really, really easy to laugh at Jonah and ridicule him. Like, come on, God told you to go to this closer place, and what are you doing? You're going they are taking the ship to another far out place in the opposite direction. Come on, God's telling you, you're a prophet of God. Why are you not doing this? Why are you not following God's command? Why are you not doing what you're told to do? But if we move it to a smaller scale, if it's no longer to Nineveh and to, and instead, and we run to Kennedy Town, it, and then you go to, and like Jonah did, he went to Tarshish. Instead of, say, even instead of like going to Kennedy Town, we move it to a smaller scale of us in everyday life. You know that God is talking to you. God's always speaking to you. But in our sinfulness, in my sinfulness, I know for sure, I ignore him. Ignoring is one thing. Even worse, I make excuses. I'm like, oh God, maybe not this time. I'm a little busy. I need to head on to whatever I need to go do. Or sometimes, even worse, I say, oh God, not this time, but maybe give me another chance. I'll do it next time. And do I do it? No, the same thing happens again, right? And so while it is easy to look at Jonah and laugh and say, oh, you didn't do what you're supposed to do, what you're made to do, what your purpose is, a lot of times, if we look at ourselves, I know for a fact, when I look at myself, I'm the same. And that's why Jonah is so relatable. I will be continuing into Jonah the next couple weeks. There's four chapters. We'll be going to the next chapter each week. And we see that there's transformation, there's forgiveness, we'll know. But right now, today, let us just think. We hear God's voice. Are we being like Jonah? Or are we actually, if we're being like Jonah, where we ignore or even go to what the opposite? Or are we actually listening to God's voice and actually doing it? And so as Wesley gets the piano, let's reflect and ask for forgiveness, because Jonah really is a book on forgiveness.
Yeah.
As we just come to you today, Lord, we ask that you help us, Lord. We can't do it on our own strength, no way. Lord, we ask that you help us follow you, draw us closer to you, Lord. We ask that as we try to go on to this journey in following you, Lord, that while there are times where we very easily want to run the opposite direction, Lord, help us, remind us, show us grace like you have shown Jonah. Give us our big fish when we're going the wrong way. Lord, we just ask that we constantly remain in your grace. We just thank you for your love and all that you have done for us. So as a church, let us pray for our brothers and sisters in our community. Let's pray for those with cancer and those undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let us pray for those with illnesses and those who have not known Jesus as your Savior yet. Let's pray for both healings physically and spiritually. Let's pray for those who have other illnesses that they would be healed by God. let's pray for those looking for jobs. Pray for God's provision for them and their families. Focus. Let's pray for our different church plants in Singapore with SPSG, Peace M. Kim, our SP Indonesia, Spin with Peace Lamat, SP Philippines, Spill with Pierney, and SPNY with Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Pray for God's wisdom and guidance in leading all the different plants. Lisa for SP Kids as they pray for wisdom as they open up slowly. SP Youth as we starting, pray for Donald in his leading, and SPU for P. Andrew. IP with Matt leading, and the Well and River of Rachel leading. Just pray for protection over them as they pray for us. For SP Lights and Homie, even though Homie is suspended, continue praying for, because the need is not suspended. Thank you. Let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight. East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, Westfield, McRobinson. Let's pray for God's presence as they meet and discuss Sunday's sermon. So finally, let's pray for Hong Kong and whatever we're going through right now. Let's pray for the government, for their wisdom, for God's guidance in leading this place, and pray for the people in whatever things they might be struggling with. Just for the whole of Hong Kong. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We love you. We praise you and worship you, Lord. And every second of our lives, Lord, let us be constantly reminded of who you are, your love for us, and just give us plenty of chances to love you back, Lord. And Lord, just thank you once again for this time where we can just lift out our request, Lord. We just thank you. You're a God who listens to prayers, Lord, and you're a God who acts. Lord, we thank you. We love you. And as we go into our day, Lord, let us be mirrors reflecting you, Lord. Be people showing off who you are, and never be ashamed of being called your son and your daughter, Lord. We just thank you. We pray that you be with us. We ask all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.